Grace. What a big word. Grace. The grace of God which passeth all of our understanding. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace. It's grace that has brought us safe thus far, and it is grace that will lead us home. Grace is what crosses the line. And as we think on this Memorial Day, grace crossing the line, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about how His life was so, in one sense the word, so small, but in another sense the word, it changed all of eternity? Think about it. On your left up there, you see that is the state of Mississippi. On the right up there, that is the state of Israel, reaching on down toward to the Dead Sea. Israel being 71 miles wide, 263 miles in length. Think about Mississippi, 185 miles wide and 333 miles the length. The Lord Jesus, His whole life was spent in that area right there. For 3 years, it has been calculated that He traveled, He walked 3,125 miles in 3 years in this area. Jesus was always on the move. It's also been calculated that during this time when Jesus was 3 years old, when He left Egypt, going to Nazareth with His father Joseph and Mary, that was a 400-mile trip. So therefore, in the life of Jesus, the first 30 years, it's been estimated that He traveled 18,000 miles on foot. Grand total, 21,525 miles did the Lord Jesus walk. If He walked on an average of 20 miles per day, that would be 1,076 days He walked. 346 days of His life was on the road. Now, at the equator, the circumference of the earth is 24,901.55 miles. And Jesus walked in His lifetime 21,525 miles. In other words, He almost walked around the earth in His lifetime. So, no wonder when Jesus said, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head." Jesus was always on the move. And when He was on the move one time, He traveled to the very northern, eastern extremity of which He walked in His life, a region that was called Tyre. Mark chapter 7 is where we're picking it up in our text. Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. Mark chapter 7 and verse 24, the Scripture says, "Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. And when He had entered the house, He wanted no one to know of it. Yet He could not escape the notice. But after hearing of Him, a woman whose little daughter had a certain unclean spirit immediately came and fell at His feet." Grace. Crossing over barriers, Jesus went to the northern part, extremity. Can you imagine Jesus saying, "Hey, look, I just want one day to myself. Can I just eat one meal without the crowds pressing? Can I have just a little bit of..." Jesus was alive. He was human. And when He walked that far away just to get a little quiet time, a little R&R, a little break. But it wasn't to be. It wasn't to be because there was a lady who found out He was there. I'd like to suggest to you this morning that grace crosses the line of race. Sometimes we don't speak about these words. But yet in the text we learn so much from the life of Jesus as we think about race. Now, look at these words. It says, "After hearing Him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at His feet." Now, the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking Him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Matthew 15:25, "And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry, saying, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.'" I'd like for you to notice three things. One, she was known as a Gentile. Two, she was known of the Syrophoenician race. Three, she was known as a Canaanite. Where do we get the word Canaanite? This region. If you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, going to the promised land, it was in the land of Canaan that the Lord God had given instruction. Kill every man, woman, boy, and girl. Kill them out because they have sinned against God, and it's time now for my people to go in and take possession of the land. But they did not kill everyone. They did not fulfill that. And later on down the line, these people began to give them very much trouble. She was of the Canaanite. She was of the Syrophoenician. Syrophoenician, the area of Phoenicia, up there in Tyre and Sidon. That was an area that when Egypt was in power, they won their independence, and they stayed independent until the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And he came in and conquered the area of Tyre, and then later on Alexander the Great came in and conquered this area. But it was in this area. The Syrophoenician race was there. A Gentile. You think about the Jews, and you think about the Gentiles. The word Gentile can also be translated nations. The nations of the world. So therefore, this was a woman of the nations of the world coming from a region that had gained its independence but lost it as a result. Now in the time of the Roman Empire, but it was also a woman who had the heritage of the Canaanites. It was of this woman that we say just for a moment, God created the human race. Think about it. Understand it. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to his own likeness. Let him have rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Who made the human race? God did. If you cut your arm, you're going to bleed, right? And you know what you're going to say? And it doesn't matter what race cuts their arm, they're going to bleed. We all are a part of a human race. We need to understand that God did not make one race superior to another race. He didn't do it. He made us all one part of the human race. But the same God that made a part of the human race, and we understand this, also said something else. That God created the human face. And we need to celebrate it. Now, I know it's hard sometimes to celebrate when you got a face like Troy. But, you know, we need to celebrate that face. I love you, Troy. He's Cajun, okay? All right, coming from the region, though, God created different human faces. In fact, we find many different languages. And out of these different languages, people begin to scatter off of the known world. Genesis 11:7 said, come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. And they stopped building the city. There's much story behind this, but the point that I want to lay to you is that God made many different languages and He scattered the people to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. And therefore we have different races today. Are races good? The answer is yes. Somehow we have tried to take away the word race and we tried to make it somewhat of a dirty name. It's not dirty. It's clean. It's in the image of God. We are part of the human race, and God made people Oriental, and God made people Alaskan, and God made people European or white, black, olive, Jewish. God made all these people, but who made them? God did. And it doesn't matter what the pigment of your skin is, we are to celebrate it. And if we could move beyond the point of trying to bring diversion into celebration, this world would be a better place. And so therefore, when people try to crowd out your mind from celebrating the race, go back to the beginning and say, God created us. And if they're black, say, I celebrate. Celebrate in your blackness. If they're Oriental, celebrate in your Oriental. If they're white, celebrate more. Celebrate the way God created you. Now, let me ask you one question. Did God make junk? No. If God created you, He created you in His image, and there's no junk there. God created. So folks, last pass the word of celebrate. Don't listen to the naysayers. Listen to the celebrators. Because those are the ones who have learned and connected to the mission of Christ. Remember that God created the human pace. And let's trust it. Galatians 4:4 said, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." In God's timing, in God's place, He makes a difference in each human face. He makes a difference in each human race. He makes a difference in the human pace. Because God is bringing these things all to an end. By the way, do you remember the British accent of the guy who talked about the poem? Y'all remember him reading the poem? Where were the gray and white? They were where? In the ground. And what were they waiting for? The judgment. Did you know what? That's where each and every person ends, in the ground. Each and every person is waiting for the judgment. So therefore, let's trust that God's in control, and one day there's going to be a resurrection. To those who are believed, it's going to be the resurrection unto rewards. For those who do not believe, it's going to be the great white throne judgment and the fires and pits of hell. It's true. So let's trust that God created the human pace. Now when we begin to continue on this, we look that grace crosses the line not only in race, but grace crosses the line of human suffering. I dare say there's not been a war that's passed that there were not human suffering in the greatest degree. I tried to think this morning and the thoughts didn't come to my mind. Why was the war of 1812 fought? Why was the war of World War I fought? Why was the war of World War II fought? Why was the Korean War fought? Why was the Vietnam War fought? Why was the battle? Why was the war in Iraq fought? Why were all these things fought? I couldn't come up with all the reasons. But what I could come up with, Jesus Christ said, there will be wars and rumors of wars. So what He's telling us, there's going to be suffering. Throughout the history of man, there's suffering. So how do we come to grips with that? How do we understand this human suffering? What we do know is that grace will cross the line of this human suffering. In verse 26, "Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking Him to cast the demon out of her daughter." She kept asking. She was suffering. Because her daughter was demon-possessed, because something had overcome her body, she was suffering. Did it matter to her that Jesus was a Jew? Did it matter to her where He was born? You know what? It didn't matter to her. Because grace crosses over boundaries when it comes to suffering. There's not one of us that our heart's not somewhat touched when we see the refuges. People in different, and what the suffering that's going on today, but somehow we begin to make this thing personal when we know that human suffering crosses over the line with persistency. I think about the other account, Matthew chapter 15, 23. The same account about this same woman, but He did not answer her word. And His disciples came and implored Him, saying, "Send her away," but she keeps shouting at us. Hey, can you look at that? The Creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, here's a woman that's begging for Jesus. She was suffering. And what did Jesus say? At first, not a word. But what do we know about this woman? She was persistent. Persistency can be interpreted as annoying. Do you know any annoying people? Okay, now we're getting down just a little bit closer to the... You know some annoying... Do some people just keep on nagging you till they get what they want? Okay, you've experienced that too then. I say, persistency can appear to be annoying. to the disciples, this woman was annoying. She kept shouting at them. And what did these spiritual men say? Lord, send her away. She just keeps on shouting at us. This woman won't shut her mouth. Oh, okay, I'm not going there. This woman kept on. Why did she do that, though? Because persistency stands up in the face of obstacles. Matthew 24, and he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What does that tell you about Jesus? Where was he sent? Why did he come to this world? To seek and to save that which was lost? He came to the household of Israel. That was his mission. Was his mission at that point in time to the Gentiles? No. The Lord Jesus said, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. So yeah, they got blessed. But what did they do with that blessing? They put him on a cross. Persistency stands up to the obstacles. This woman was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, this is not a part of my mission. Are you persistent when you approach God? Are you persistent in prayer? Human suffering crosses over when persistency flows out of inward pain. Why did this woman keep it up? But she began and bowed down to him and said, Lord, help me. Help me. Who is the one who had the demon? The daughter did. But who is suffering right here? This mother was suffering. She was crying out from this deep agony. It's not only the men that go off to war that suffer. It's many of the people who are left back home. They also share in that suffering. And so the persistency was flowing out of this inward pain that continued on. And she stayed with the stuff. Sometimes a kid gets locked up in drugs. Are you persistent? Sometimes a person loses their job and they need to find another job. Are you persistent? Well, there's obstacles. Yes, there's obstacles. It sounds like you may be annoying somebody. Yes, you may be annoying. But what's driving you? Is it not something inward that makes you want to go and stay with the stuff no matter what it takes? This woman had inward pain and she was crying out, Lord, help me. And she kept asking to cast the demon out. Folks, I think a lot of the illness that we see today can be demon possession. I think a lot of the suffering that we see is a result of evil spirits. I think our church is under attack many days because of evil spirits. Because they're trying to keep people out of the church. Because they're trying to keep people... This may come in many different packages. You got people who want to be in this worship service this morning, but they can't be here because of their job. Why is it that they only have to work on Sunday morning? Why is that? Why is it that they got to stay up all night driving the truck? You know, some of this stuff is not necessarily coming from the Father, but it's coming from another source that a man's got to do and a man's got to do. But many times, it's driving him away. And inwardly, he wants something different, but outwardly, he can't make the change yet. This woman's daughter was demon-possessed. She was suffering. And this woman wanted to see change take place. But this is what suffering can do. It can humble you. Verse 27. And as he was saying, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs. But she answered and said to them, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. Human suffering can humble you. How many mother has wept into the night because of their son or their daughter? How many fathers wept into the night because of his son being jailed? How many people have considered that, Hey, look, now my family is changed because of these drugs, because of this alcohol, because of this pornography. Now my family is changed. And so what now are we going to do? There's an unborn child, a child out of wedlock. All of a sudden, our life is changed. What are we going to do with this suffering? It's an humbler. From one point, a person might seem as though they were on top of the world, but now all of a sudden, their world is broken. And they say, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs. Grace crosses over the line with faith. It really does. Now this faith, let's see how this faith occurs in verse 29. And the Scripture said, and He said to her, because of this answer, go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. Because of this. Because of what? Because of her persistency above obstacles. Because of her persistency, even though she appeared as though she was annoying. Because of her persistency, because she was showing the element of faith. Because of this, by faith, the demon's gone. What does that tell us? We need to have faith. Faith crosses the line with hope. And He said to her, because of this answer. This is how she responded. She was humbled. She was broken. She was suffering. But because of this answer, hope sprang out. She honestly believed that Jesus could cure her daughter. She honestly believed that Jesus could cast out the demon out from her daughter. Whatever that overcoming spirit was, she had the hope that Jesus could take care of that. And the Scripture says, because of this, go. Go. Why? Because faith crosses over the line with love filled with expectancy. Did you capture that word, love? Why was this demon cast out? It was because of the love of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, go. Go. Go filled with expectancy. Go. I've heard you. Go. I love you. Go because of your faith, because of what you said, because of what you exhibit, because of the expectation. Go. And verse 30 says, and going home, going back to her home, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon had left. Your faith becomes sight. Capture that. So many times we talk about faith, but your faith becomes sight. When God answers the prayer and you see it, then you know that persistency. Then you know that hope. Then you know that love. Then you know that faith. You know this is what God did. God did it. And so when you ask, believe, the faith. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 13:13. But now faith, hope, and love abideth these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love. So I submit to you this morning, grace crosses the line. Grace crosses the line of all races. In the midst of human suffering, by means of faith, it crosses the line. So this morning, what is God saying to you? I'm going to carry you back a few steps. I'm going to carry you back to the cross. Because there's faith, there's hope, there's love. Every one of us are going to be touched by what we've talked about this morning. Every one of us are part of a race. The human race. And the human race is going to experience suffering. And the suffering is going to be overcome with faith. And the faith is going to be shown because of the love of Jesus Christ. But sometimes, maybe we need to go back to that moment in time up there on the cross. So what I'm going to ask you to do this morning is to sit right where you are. I want to carry you back to the cross. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to be right down here on the front row. Come sit with me. Prayer altars are going to be open because some of you are suffering. And some of you need to carry it to the cross. And maybe some of you need to just bow and humble yourselves before God as this woman humbled herself with persistency, not thinking that you're annoying God, and staying with the stuff until your faith becomes sight. Y'all just share with me in this invitation time and carrying you back.